Hello everyone, it's Father Jim again. I hope you all had a happy Christmas and a new year. And now in the Northern Hemisphere, spring is beginning. We're starting a new year. So I thought I'd, as we're going to come up for Lent and Easter soon, I'd spend a few weeks on the question of prayer, fasting, and alms deeds, which were the three recipes our Lord gave in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 7. So I'll start off for a few weeks on prayer and hope you'll find this comforting and helpful. But as we start a new year, I thought I'd quote a lovely poem. In the beginning of the war, the Second World War, George VI in his Christmas broadcast in 1939, when things looked dim and dark, he quoted from this poem, the first six lines. I hadn't realized at the time that maybe the author of this poem, Minnie Louise Haskins, might have taught me. When I was 5 in 1940, I used to be dragged every day screaming down some country lanes to a little nursery school run by two ladies. Miss Haskins looked like a benevolent German Hausfrau. She had a bun and sticking out teeth, and her sidekick used to play the piano. She had glasses on a string round her neck. In fact, between them, they looked a bit like Hinge and Bracket. But we used to have to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. And do you know, even at the age of 5, I said to myself, that's a Protestant hymn, and I wouldn't join in. Well, I've changed since then. But I didn't realise she was a poetess. Certainly didn't know her name was Minnie. We would have had a giggle, I'm sure, aged 5, if she was known as Minnie. But this is the poem. It's called God Knows. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills, and the breaking of day in the lone east. So heart, be still. What need our little life, our human life, to know if God hath comprehension? In all the dizzy strife of things both high and low, God hideth his intention. God knows. His will is best. The stretch of years which wind ahead, so dim to our imperfect vision, are clear to God. Our fears are premature. In him all time hath full provision. Then rest, until God moves to lift the veil from our impatient eyes. When, as the sweeter features of life's stern face we hail, fair beyond all surmise God's thought around his creatures, our mind shall fill. Minnie Louise Haskins, 1875 to 1957. For me, this is a most marvellous preparation for prayer, when we put our hand into the hand of God. One of the difficulties with prayer has been the impression that everyone should pray in the same way. In some ways, the Our Father isn't a prayer, it is a school of prayer. Our Lord said, say things like this. And so the Church has always prayed the Our Father in the monasteries, the Divine Office, and the Eucharist, trying to do what he told us to do, to learn how to pray. Now we have to remember that we're not angels, we're human beings. So there are all aspects of prayer which affect human beings. And we need to remember we're all unique human beings. So we mustn't put ourselves into straight jackets and be unnatural. For me, the essence of prayer isn't, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking, but speak, Lord, and your servant is listening. And sometimes we tend to broadcast so much, we jam and censor out God who wishes to speak pillow talk in our ears. I remember in the army, we used to have signals training. And in those days, we had these wireless sets. And if you wanted to broadcast, you pressed a button which stopped any broadcast coming in. You said your piece. And then when you finish, you say, over. You'd take your finger off the button, and that meant the other person had a chance to speak to you. Well, often in prayer, we've got our finger on our own button, and we're broadcasting. And we're frightened of going into silence and into darkness, in case we do hear God, in case God does get a word in edgeways. So that is why often silence is the beginning of prayer. And if we go out into the darkness and holding the hand of God, we'll see the stars coming out. Because when God speaks, he doesn't usually use a megaphone. He whispers sweet nothings in our ears, and this requires great silence. Another difficulty in prayer is that contemplative prayer seemed to be a speciality for superannuated nuns and monks, which you might attain when you're 90. I want to suggest that to be contemplative is natural. It's not something odd. I remember once I was in an infant school and the children were watching chickens' eggs hatch. They had a little incubator. And the children's eyeballs were popping out of their head with amazement. So were mine. And there was a deep silence, ruined by the teacher, who came crashing in with big boots on and said, "Now, children, let's thank God for all these little chickens." Well, what did she think they were doing all the time? Already in prayer, but because she had ants in her pants and couldn't stand the silence, she felt she had to bring in God by the scruff of the neck. So children of five are naturally contemplative. The sad thing is we sometimes lose this because we feel we have to be entertaining. We have to do the talking. And it jams God. Another important thing about prayer, I think, is this. Between the Father and the Son, there is many things happening. The whole world couldn't tame the amazing mystery. First of all, there's something to do with giving and receiving. In eternity, whatever that means, it's beyond my comprehension. The Father has given everything to the Son, and so the Son has accepted everything. Now, if my own Father had been infinite and gave me everything, I'd probably have a terrible guilt complex. But within the Godhead, when the Son receives everything, he's given the Father the gift of being able to give. There's nothing more frustrating than wanting to give and nobody will receive. And within the Godhead, the giving and the receiving are of equal dignity and value. In our world, we tend to canonize the givers, sort of great, big, generous people whose names go up in lights. And we can patronize the receivers and make them feel guilty and in debt. But within the Trinity, the receiving and the giving are equal. So the Father specializes in giving, and the Son in receiving, and the Father says to the Son, "Thank you for allowing me to give." The Son's speciality is forgiveness. And when we give the Son permission to forgive, it made our Lord's days. He says, "Thanks, Jim. Thank you. You've made my day. You've allowed me to be me at my best." Now Mary was looked on in her nothingness. But by receiving everything from God, she gave the Father the gift of being able to give the Spirit. How pleased the Father must have been. So I want to suggest that prayer is not to make us feel small and insignificant. It is an extremely dignified thing to be able to stand in the presence of God and allow his voice to be heard. Now the whole of creation is a divine statement. Light, earth, chemicals, stars, plants, trees, and Jim. You and I have been spoken into being. God says, "Jim." And therefore, every human person is a unique, divine statement. Mary. Bill. The fact that I exist is God saying something. And therefore, each one of us is a divine prayer. Our being is a divine statement. And when we take possession and ownership of the wonder of our being, that is our primary response. And God must be so grateful that we accept the reality of our being. Some people have great pain over this. They think, "Oh my gosh, my face. I should have gone to the smelters. 2 out of 10 for my face. 3 out of 10 for my personality. 1 out of 10 for my history." And God spends a lot of time trying to reassure us that each one of us is an original, totally irreplaceable, divine work of art. So each of us is a living prayer from God. And when we listen to ourselves, we're listening to the one who sent us. When we listen to each other, we're listening to the one who sent us. If we reject each other, we are rejecting the one who has sent us. And so I like to think that we are an echo chamber where God wants to hear himself, a faithful echo chamber. We don't want to jam and block God's conversation. We're really saying, "Here I am, Lord." When he says, "Jim, here I am." And so next week, I'll carry on. But I did want to insist that contemplative prayer is normal. It is allowing God to hear himself within us. It requires self-emptying of bits and pieces. Amen.